You know, last week I, in an attempt to not use any Greek words, I left out two important Greek words, artios and exartizo. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, I knew I was preaching to the choir, but even at that, I should make sure I say these things. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, God breathed, and is profitable. It's beneficial, it's helpful, it's profitable. Keeps you in the black and not the red, right? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, which is instruction in righteousness. And, you know, I think I covered that pretty well last week. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished or thoroughly perfected unto all good works. Well, the word perfect is the word artios in the Greek. And that word perfect is used of a ship when everything that is needed for a voyage is put on the ship. You know, that when that ship has everything it needs for the voyage ahead, then you know, that is called perfect. That's this word, artios. So, God's word is given so that the person who speaks for God can be fully equipped, not perfect in the sense of, I'm pretty perfect because I speak for God. No, our equipment, our being equipped comes from God and his word. The word equips us in our mind, and then God's spirit equips us spiritually. God equips us spiritually. And the equipment in the spiritual category comes in the form of nine manifestations. I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. And then it said that the man of God may be perfect, not thoroughly, but throughly furnished. And the word furnished is exartizo, which is another form of artios. And it's throughly perfected, throughly equipped. Wow. You know, it's like where it says in Colossians 1:27, we're completely, absolutely complete in him. That's the Aramaic translation of the extra extensive form that's used of in that verse, that you're completely, absolutely complete. When a ship goes out to sail, if they didn't bring any food, are they equipped?
No.
If they didn't have enough gasoline or whatever, or they didn't have patches for their sail, if something happened to the sail, or they didn't have extra rope, if they needed extra rope, or if they didn't have whatever they needed, you know, they could be out in the middle of the ocean and in trouble. God does not put us out in the ocean in trouble. You know, God makes it so that we have the equipment that we need in order to walk with him, talk with him, to have our mind in the right place, to have giving us the spiritual ability to carry out his word and to walk in God's power. So, and remember John 10:10, it says, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, more than abundant. This more than abundant life is in the spirit category. Every person is body and soul. As a body and soul person, you have freedom of will. You can choose to be happy with the body and soul type life that you've got, or you can choose to take it a step further and have the more than abundant life, the spiritual aspects of life. And let's look at John chapter 14. Jesus Christ came to make the more than abundant life available. Not just a simple existence, not just, you know, living from day to day, not just eking out enough to live on, but a more than abundant life, and that is in the category of the spiritual. In John 14, verse 15, and while Jesus Christ was here working to bring this more than abundant life available, he said this: "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter." Jesus Christ was a terrific comforter. You know, Jesus Christ comforted the people. Jesus Christ encouraged them. He blessed them. He loved them. Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This other comforter, what is this other comforter? Oh, verse 17, it says, even the Spirit of truth. This other comforter is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world is stuck in body and soul. They're stuck there because they were born there. That's what they were born into. With the fall of Adam, every man and woman, child born into this world is body and soul. Jesus Christ came to make it possible for us to be body, soul, and spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Who was dwelling with them at the time? Jesus Christ was with them. But when we get born again of God's Spirit, it's called Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, that Spirit of truth, they observed, and we can read the Gospels and observe someone living with the Spirit of truth within them, how they conducted their lives, what they were able to do. Then that was with them, but now he's in us. It's God in Christ in us. It gives us a leverage. It gives us an advantage. It gives us a great spiritual power that we can tap into. And we can live according to the example of Jesus Christ, because he had Spirit on him. We have Spirit in us, born again of God's Spirit. And everywhere we go, when I walk out the door, Christ in me, the hope of glory. When I get in my car, start it up. And I borrowed my son's car. We borrowed our son's car. And he's got one of those hybrids. And you push the button and the seat goes. And then you push it and hold it again. And on the dashboard, it does this thing. But sometimes you don't even hear it start. You know, I didn't know whether it was running or not. But it was. It was running. Because I put it in gear and it moved. So I knew it was running. But anyway. But Jesus Christ made the more than abundant life available to us. Body, soul, and what? Spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Let me keep reading here. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he came to us in the new birth. What a terrific thing that is. He came to us in the new birth. Look at verse 25. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. There's more information. It's the Spirit of truth. It's Holy Spirit, small h, small s. It's the gift of Holy Spirit that every believer receives at the point of the new birth. It's a new birth because Spirit is born within once again. Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, he's speaking to people that were with him and people that heard him say things. But can we not read the Gospels?
Yeah.
and let him speak to us. And then the Spirit of truth on the inside, this gift of Holy Spirit, will bring to our remembrance things that Jesus Christ said that we can read, other things in the Word that we can read. You know, and God's Spirit within us talks with us and can guide us and give us direction on what to do, how to do things, how to do things. That's what's called in the Bible, word of wisdom. Look at chapter 15, verse 26. It says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Isn't that something? "He shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Well, he was speaking to those that were with him from the time that he began his ministry. We weren't with him from the beginning, but we can read the Gospels, the record of his being here and how he conducted his life, but it's now in us. It's God in Christ in us now, the gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high, this Comforter. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now, this is speaking of a life that is beyond body and soul life. It's spiritual life. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit. It's speaking of the Holy Spirit telling us things and guiding us and reminding us of things. Boy, isn't that great?
Yes.
Man, I need that. Need to be reminded of things. But look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And this is Jesus Christ, right before he ascended, he spoke these things to the 11 plus Matthias, the 12. Verse 8. "But ye shall receive," and this word "receive" is the word lambano. "Ye shall receive into manifestation power," dunamis, inherent power. We get the word dynamite from this word dunamis. "Power. After that, the Holy Spirit," Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, "is come upon you." This Comforter is a Comforter that gives us power. This Comforter gives us power. Man, and how would you know this without knowing the Word? That's why it's the Word and the power, the Word and the Spirit. You know, it's not just the Word, it's the Word and the Spirit. We learn about the spiritual aspects of God. We learn about what God has made us to become in Christ Jesus. We learn about the capacity that God has given us, and now we can walk accordingly and utilize that power. "But ye shall receive power after that. The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem." Well, I've been to Jerusalem a couple times. "And in all Judea," well, I've been in parts of Judea, "and in Samaria," I think we were there too on the Bible Lands trip, right? "And unto the uttermost part of the earth." Ah, that's us. We live in the uttermost part of the earth. You know, this is speaking, of course, to those that were present, the 12, and yet by association and by understanding of how things work, this is applicable to us. We've received power. We have the gift of Holy Spirit. We have the Comforter. We have the Spirit of truth. And we know this because of the Word of truth. Now, right after this, Jesus Christ, you know, he ascended. He went up, and the clouds received him out of his sight. "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." This is the last thing he said to them before he ascended. And you would think somebody would pay attention to the here's someone they loved, that they'd been with him. They saw him just being sacrificed and going through such terrible things. They saw him raised from the dead. You know, they saw him raised from the dead, and he ate some fish and, you know, and stuff. And oh my gosh, you know, and this, it wasn't like a spirit kind of resurrection from the dead. It was something more than that, because he said, "Here's my body, touch me." You know, oh yeah, he's flesh and bone. He's you know, and so it gives us a great picture of what we have to look forward to, because this is what is going to be available to us in the future. But look at this Acts chapter 2. We're going to see something that happened. It says in verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." They had unity of purpose. They were in one place, and the place where they were was in the temple at an hour of prayer. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, or as of a heavy breathing, and it filled all the house, the temple, where they were sitting." They, you know, it's a shame that some people have, you know, walking around with their tambourines and jumping from pew to pew and all that kind of stuff when they receive the Holy Spirit. And but they're going to, this is where they first received this gift of Holy Spirit. This is when they first got the power from on high. The greatness of this that Jesus Christ came to make available. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." And there's that picture over there on the wall that is a rendition of what it was. You know, a lot of times we see this little flicker, like flicker of the flame or something, that jumps from one person's head to another. But this is more representative of what it must have been like. It came down from heaven. This pillar of fire came down from heaven, and these flames touched the 11 plus Matthias. And they were all filled with Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus Christ said they would be. Jesus Christ said the Comforter would come. Jesus Christ said the Spirit would come. This is the lot more than abundant life that Jesus Christ made available. "And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Judeans, devout men out of every nation under heaven." This was one of the feasts where the children of Israel were to come to Jerusalem to worship. This was during the feast of Pentecost. And so here they were from these different places. That, you know, for whatever reason, they had been scattered among various nations. And from these various nations, they came in to Israel. To Jerusalem for this feast. And so they in the areas where they lived, they spoke different languages, from Hebrew, which was the language that the scriptures were written in, the Old Testament scriptures, and Aramaic, which was the common language. But there was, you know, there were people from these other countries. They spoke other languages. But on that day of Pentecost, when the people spoke in tongues, there was somebody out there that understood the language they were speaking. This is the miracle of Pentecost. "And they were all amazed and marveled." Oh, wait, let me read this verse again. "Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded." Well, wouldn't you be? "Because that every man heard them speak in his own language." Speaking in tongues is speaking a language. The Bible tells us it's the tongues of men or of angels. "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galilean. Galileans spoke Northern Aramaic. These people, when they spoke in tongues, they didn't speak Northern Aramaic. Let's see what they spoke. And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and parts of, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Well, on the day of Pentecost, it was the 11 plus Matthias that spoke in tongues originally. And that makes 12, but I figured this out one time. There are 15 different languages that are mentioned here. So some of them must have been speaking, when they spoke in tongues, they spoke more than one language or whatever. But, you know, they spoke one language for a while and another one for a while. And we're all amazed and we're in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lift up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Remember, not too many days before this, they were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews when Jesus Christ showed himself 50 days before. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, being it is but the third hour of the day. This is that which was spoken of the prophet, saying, prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, body, soul, and spirit, the comforter, the new birth, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And so forth. Let's look at what else he said. Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Remember, there is that John 14:12 that says, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. When he ascended, where did he go? He went to his Father. We could do the works he did and greater works. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. You know, God raised him from the dead. And if you look down, verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, David being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, not left in the grave, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Not just the 12, but everybody there was a witness. Why? They were a witness of the resurrected Christ because they heard speaking in tongues. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. In this is covered the resurrection. In this is covered that Jesus Christ is Lord. So what is required in the new birth? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be what? Saved and born again. And that day there were about 3,000 souls added to the church. Look at Acts 19 here for a second. Acts 19, I want to point out something here. All the accounts of people getting born again through the rest of the book of Acts either specifically state or clearly imply that those believers spoke in tongues. They received the power from on high, they spoke in tongues. In our believers' meeting today, we have proof of the resurrection. We had people speak in tongues and interpret. That speaking in tongues was not available in the gospel times. It was not available in the Old Testament times. It was only available after Jesus Christ accomplished what he accomplished so that we could be born again of God's Spirit. Acts 19, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received, and this word receive is lambano, have you received into manifestation the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. If you haven't heard, you can't do anything about it. That's why you need to be around to hear. You know, you've got to listen. You've got to hear when God is speaking. When I am speaking, I'm speaking. But what I'm speaking, I'm endeavoring to speak what? God's word. God's word spoken on the lips of a believer is just as accurate, you know, rightly divided, just as accurate as it was when it was first given. These are words that God gave. How do we know these things? Because these are words that God gave. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, into what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. What was John's baptism?
Water.
They were baptized. It's a wonderful act that had its place at that time, at the time of John the Baptist. Then said Paul, John verily or truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, he baptized with water, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which had come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Confess with their mouth, believe in their heart, God raised him from the dead. Then you receive a different kind of baptism. It's baptized with Holy Spirit. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and what? Prophesied. How about that? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't have a lot of time left in my allotted time. But I do want to show you some things in light of God's word and the Spirit. God's word and God's power. We have God's word. Because of that, we know about God's power, and we can put God's power into work, at work, into effect. We've received power from on high. We've received the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, Holy Spirit. Now, God is really good about not wanting people to be ignorant about what they have, what they've received. Look at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, is the word gifts is in italics in the King James Version. There is no word gifts in the text. The word spiritual is pneumaticos, which means can be translated spiritual things or spiritual matters. Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You need to understand there are two types of ignorance. There's a type of ignorance where you've never heard. You've never heard. Neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, right? You'd never heard of those things. And then there's a kind of ignorance where you've heard and you've chosen to ignore what God has said. That's the type of ignorance. We come here every Sunday so that we don't fall into a category of not having known things. We want to learn God's word. We want to be encouraged by God's word. We want to know what God has made available. We want to be able to walk with God and talk with God, have our minds lined up with God and his word. And then we want to walk out into the world with the power of God in our lives, shedding forth God's grace and mercy, shedding forth his power, speaking forth his word, so others will not need to be what?
Ignorant.
Now, concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Keep your finger here and go to chapter 14, verse 37. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Don't forbid speaking in tongues. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. That's not what I wanted. 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandment of the Lord. What am I? I'm looking for. Oh, yeah, verse 38. But if any man be ignorant, let him be what? Ignorant. God's word here lays out about spiritual matters. And then at the end of this 12, 13, and 14, which you can read about, I was with a group once, and one of the people were so proud they had just memorized, you know, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. I said, oh man, that is terrific. Do you speak in tongues? Do you know what it means? No. I memorized it. I can quote it. It's not a matter of quoting it. It's a matter of assimilating it into your mind, into your life, into your habits. Chapter 12, verse 2. Ye know that you were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols. They were dumb because they could not speak. Even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, which is speaking in tongues, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost, but by the Holy Spirit. You can't say that you've made Jesus Christ Lord unless you speak in tongues. There are diversities of gifts. Yes, there are. But the same Lord, same Spirit, sorry. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, ways of serving, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all things, which worketh all in all. There it is. So there are different ways of serving, there are different distributions of of ministering, their different ways of their different operations, different effects produced. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one profit is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. This is that part where he said that the Comforter would guide you, would bring to remembrance, you know, would tell you things. Word of knowledge gives you information received by the Spirit, and then word of wisdom is how to utilize that information. To another prophet, believing by the same Spirit, spiritual believing, that is a terrific thing. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, another prophet, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The gift of Holy Spirit brings with it the capacity. It brings the equipment, or whatever. We're equipped, right? It brings us the equipment for us to be able to find out things that we couldn't know otherwise. Spiritual, you know, revelation from God, information, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, what to do in a situation, or what to do about the word of knowledge that you've received. Discerning of spirits, if there's spirits present, and if present, whether you can cast them out. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Believing, miracles, healing, tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Those are all evidences. Those are all manifestations of the gift of Holy Spirit. We should not ignore those. We're not to be ignorant. If we have memorized this, we've seen it, we've read it, we are not to ignore those things. We are to operate those things. We are to carry forth God's word with the power that we received. We receive power from on high. And that power from on high makes it possible for us to do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater works. One of the greater works is to lead someone into the new birth. And what a terrific thing it is to have this in our lives, not just a knowledge of the word so that we know how to behave, but we, from the word, we've received the gift of Holy Spirit by adhering to the word. And then that gives us the power, the efficacy, the spiritual ability to carry out the word, to live the more than abundant life. Isn't that terrific? God is so good. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for your love, your grace, your mercy. We're thankful, Father, for all that you've made available. What a privilege it is to be your sons and daughters in our day and time, to have received this gift of Holy Spirit, power from on high. And we thank you and praise you again in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.